tonight, why conservatives should not support hate speech rules, and Jews shouldn't either. It's May 3rd, and this is the Ezra Levant Show.
Shame on you, you censorious thug.
Oh, it's been bothering me for months. Bill C-63 in Canada, Trudeau's so-called Online Harms Act, which is basically a censorship law. It is despised by the people. Nobody wanted it other than people in the professional grievance industry who were delighted about it. But I was disappointed but not surprised to see that the official Jews of Canada have endorsed C-63. I know why. It's a combination of reasons. For one thing, they get massive grants from Justin Trudeau, as do most ethnic groups in this country. So, you know, if you pay a lobby group hundreds of thousands of dollars, odds are they'll support you when you ask for their support. So it's a shame that the Jewish community sold out to Trudeau for a few bucks. A more friendly interpretation would be that Jews are so desperate for relief from the wave of anti-Semitism out there that they'll cotton on anything. And if they look at a law that says we'll ban mean words online, well, why not support it? Well, there's some good reasons why not to support it. And that's on the Canadian side. The United States did something not as dramatic. They didn't bring in a massive censorship law, but what they did do is adopt an official definition of anti-Semitism. I mean, that's useful. What is anti-Semitism? The government has an opinion. Each of us can have an opinion. I know why the American Congress did that, because they're appalled by Hamas. They want to show their solidarity with the Jewish community. But same thing. When the government gets into the hurt feelings business, it's not going to end well. I am sure that the American Congress is well-meaning. And there might even be some people who are well-meaning who support Trudeau's censorship. But I'm pretty sure I know how it's going to be used. Take a look at this video from some nameless Canadian cabinet minister. Really, not, their identities really aren't important. There's only a handful of Canadian cabinet ministers who make decisions. Take a look at this announcement of, what, $250 million? Actually, it's altogether more than $1 billion to crack down on the human emotion called hate. Take a look.
Today's investment of $1.2 million for Building Bridges workshops will further enhance our Team Canada approach to combating hate by supporting victims and communities, by making it easier to report hate crimes, to provide resources and tools for community organizations to support victims of hate, addressing the significant knowledge gap that exists in the Canadian hate crimes landscape, including information on the rights and freedoms guaranteed by the Charter, teaching investigation techniques on how to recognize hate crimes, developing strategies for outreaching and engagement with communities who experience hate, and by providing fundamental knowledge to better equip police so that they can understand, so that they can investigate and support prosecutions related to hate crime. These workshops are providing communities across the country with the tools and resources they need to truly meet the moment and fight back against the alarming rise in hate that we're witnessing. You know, we're at a pivotal moment when it comes to addressing hate in our country, and the work is urgently needed now more than ever. And while some so-called leaders are openly and recklessly inciting hate by embracing white nationalists and far-right extremist ideologies, we are doubling down on our commitment to protect Canadians from this intolerance and hate. Because we know at the end of the day, hatred is an extremely serious problem facing Canadians, and it is incumbent upon us as responsible leaders to deliver and invest in a serious response for Canadians.
So there are literally right now hate encampments, hate marches at the University of Toronto, at McGill, at University of British Columbia, at universities across Canada, across America, and in some parts overseas as well. You don't need to spend hundreds of millions of dollars teaching people how to find hate. There's a lot of it out there, but did you catch that phrase she used? That she's going after the far right. Is it the far right that's having hate marches? It is not. It's the woke left in coalition with Islamist extremists, which is surely not what she meant. So what the liberals are doing is they're taking advantage of people being afraid of hate, hate from Hamas, hate that turns into violence, and saying, yes, yes, let's pass an anti-hate speech law, but they're giving it away. But we're going to go after the right wing, the far right. Of course, they call anyone they don't like far right. They call the truckers the far right. We don't actually need hate speech laws to deal with the Hamas riots. We have all the laws we need already for what the real problem is. The real problem, for example, is trespass. People on property they don't have the right to be. People setting up encampments, shantytowns, tents. There are rules against that already. People are assaulting each other, sometimes with sticks or worse. That's in the criminal code as assault, mischief. There may even be some anti-terrorism laws that come into effect. Of course, as you know, in Canada, it's against the law to facilitate or harbor or instruct or to finance terrorism. You want to make sure that you don't make that charge willy-nilly, but it's on the books. You also have the right to deport foreign provocateurs. What I mean by that is people who are here on temporary work permits or temporary student visas who, instead of working or studenting, decide to go in the middle of the city and shout epithets at Jews. They have no right to be here for any reason other than to work or to study. We can deport them. And of course, universities themselves have their own policies that go far beyond what the criminal code does. You are not allowed to intimidate people. You're not allowed to cause hurt feelings. I mean, universities have these hair trigger microaggressions. If they actually meant any of that, my point is, I'm not for, you know, microaggressions and all that, but my point is we don't need more laws because the laws we have right now are enough. There's no need for new laws, just enforce the existing ones. Why would anyone think that police would enforce hate speech laws, which are by definition subjective and political, when they won't enforce objective criminal laws like no camping on the lawn at University of Toronto, no taking over a public space at the University of British Columbia? And why do Jews or conservatives or anyone else think that hate speech laws would be used against their opponents as opposed to against themselves? Why would any Jew think that hate speech laws would be used against Palestinians or Hamas people when you hear the demonization of Jews and Israel by the left? Obviously, it will be Israel and Zionists who are going to be prosecuted. There's an enormous campaign right now to equate Zionism with racism, Zionism with some abominable belief system. Zionism is just the belief that the Jewish people have a Jewish homeland in the Jewish Holy Land, as they did for thousands of years, as the Jewish temples and the Bible attest. To deny Zionism is to deny the central characteristic of Judaism. That is being demonized so harshly in Canada that in no time at all, there will be some human rights judge or real judge who says, yes, we must get rid of Zionist hate. You know it's coming. We know that police can dismantle these illegal encampments. In Toronto, for example, a few years ago, police deployed 100 officers, 50 police cars, and even riot horses to shut down. Remember that one restaurant, Adam Skelly's Barbecue, Adamson's Barbecue? He refused to close his barbecue restaurant during the pandemic lockdowns. And 100 police came storming in to shut him down. It's a political choice that Canadian politicians and police are making to abide Hamas. It's not a lack of laws. I think there's a correlation between politicians refusing to enforce current criminal laws and those who want new hate speech laws. I don't think it's a coincidence, at least in Canada. It's a misdirection. It's a placebo to pretend that they're doing something about the real problem while they're actually Trojan horsing in censorship plans for other purposes. The Liberal government doesn't have to invest $237 million to find hate in Canada. They can just go to universities. They can go to the streets of any major city and find it. They're stealing away, they're stowaways, trying to hitch their plans to the facts the conservatives and Jews care about, but they're bringing in censorship for their own reasons. Well, I'm off to Ireland. I'm leaving Sunday night. I'll land Monday morning. Ireland, I think, is five time zones to the east of Toronto. Early in the afternoon, there's what's supposed to be a massive march against mass immigration to Ireland, which has really had the shock treatment against it by its last prime minister, who basically opened the floodgates. And the Irish people are clapping back. Of course, they're called far-right haters as well. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I'll be out there for about 24 hours, so hopefully we'll be able to get the show done in time. The time zones will work to our advantage. Hopefully we'll get that on TV on Monday night. If not, we'll have it on Tuesday for sure. And we'll probably put it up on our website, migrantreports.com. That's where we put all our investigations into this subject matter. So I'm going to say goodbye to you now, and I will leave you with videos that my colleagues have made for today. But on Monday, I hope to be back from Ireland. Here, as we head into the weekend, take a look at this coverage that you'll find only on Rebel News.
Alex Alavoie reporting for Rebel News here on the ground at McGill University, where entire Israel protesters have occupied the campus with their encampment for 6 days. Tensions have escalated with reports of intimidation and anti-Semitic chants on campus.
Intifada Shabia!
Viva, viva, intifada!
The Hamas terrorist attacks on October 7, we have seen anti-Israel supporters marching and chanting anti-Semitic slogans through the streets all across Canada. We have also seen Israeli businesses and establishments targeted by these Hamas supporters. Israeli supporters have gathered in front of McGill to demand an end to the situation. It has been reported that the Premier of Quebec has requested police to dismantle the encampment.
McGill is clear that they don't want these encampments, and I think that I rely on the officers to make sure to stop
police
that.
Police officers? What are you asking police to do?
To dismantle encampments.
Right now?
At the time that they will judge that will be the right one.
Police have separated the two groups by closing off some of the access to the property where the encampment is located. Now, let's speak with people on the ground and let's see what they have to say to me today.
This isn't daycare, this is higher education. McGill is a university. You want to talk, you want to have dialogue, you want to have discussion. There's no pushing, there's no shoving, there's no name calling, there's no throwing. That's what university is about. Get back to class, this isn't daycare.
The people on the other side of the fence inside McGill have been taken advantage of, and some of them are very cynically trying to advocate for the genocide of the Israeli and Jewish people.
Professional agitators have taken over my alma mater. I went to McGill, and to see it taken over by professional agitators and who are now monopolizing our entire discourse of our province, all of a sudden taken over, hijacked by people who don't know the difference between Hamas and hummus.
As a student who is soon entering the university system, I don't know what to expect, but we are here today to show that we are proud. We will not stand down. We have a country. This is not 1939 anymore.
These people in the encampment, they're doing illegal things. They don't have the right to set camp on McGill campus. They're standing for something wrong. They're clearly anti-Semitic.
I think it's a really important thing to stand up for who we are. We have thousands of years of history. We're peaceful, loving people who only want good for others. We have been persecuted for centuries for absolutely no reason but being Jewish.
I feel it's important that the leaders of any municipality such as mine who are of the Jewish faith and even of any other faith should be here to show what that we support Israel, we support the Jewish people, and it's literally a shame that Jewish people have to hear death to the Jews, gas the Jews. It's disgusting.
I think it's too long for them to occupy the campus.
We're proud Jews, and we have to stand up for our people. And you know, the fact that wealthy, educated people who go to a beautiful institution, or a once beautiful institution called McGill, are protesting on behalf of Hamas, a terrorist organization, and these people pretend to be preoccupied with women's rights, gay rights, LGBTQ rights, and then stand for Hamas after the atrocities they committed on October 7th, it's a testament to how morally decadent our society has become.
Why are you on this side trying to kind of agitate people?
This is freedom of political beliefs, Canadian Charter, right? Is that what it says?
What is your goal?
What does the Quebec Charter say? You have the right. People have the right to information as long as it's legal, right?
Quebec. What is your goal to be on this side?
I'm exercising my Quebec constitutional charter. I'm exercising my rights. The Quebec Charter says everyone has a right to information as long as it's not illegal. This is not illegal. That's it.
Well, you know that you are provoking.
That's your opinion.
No, that's not my opinion.
I'm exercising my charter rights. Anybody attacks me, I've got someone in the crowd filming. Anybody attacks me, nice lawsuit. That's it.
There is no stoppage on the Jewish students going on to courses. What are you talking about? The campment is here. It's not blocking anybody's way. All the students, they are free to go wherever they want, and they are going. Actually, it's not in the end of the term, okay? So the second thing, even if it were at the middle of the term, the second semester, I'm sure the people who are camping here, they are not making any blockages against anybody attending any courses.
Leave Palestine alone and go back to Europe.
But my family is from Iraq.
I came together with two of my Jewish friends to McGill to see what's going on. We stood far away from them, we didn't interrupt them, we didn't do anything, we didn't say anything. We actually had a conversation, a nice conversation with someone from there. Once they recognized us, the entire crowd, they just came to us. About 20 jihadists, 25 jihadists came to us, surrounded me specifically, and started to scream, go back to Europe, all the Zionists are racist. And they scream, they were screaming, go back to Europe for about 5 minutes. And I told them, guys, my family is from Iraq. I'm not even from Europe. So they said, go back to Iraq. The problem is that Jews cannot go to Iraq. Jews cannot be in Iraq anymore.
How do you feel to see people like actually walking and trampling the Israeli flag?
I am not intimidated. They can do what they have to do, but we're not gonna stoop to their level. And let's just get them out of here. Eventually, Montreal enforcement's gonna come once the McGill injunction's gonna kick in, and this whole encampment's gonna be done. But yes, no, I'm not intimidated.
We're
are more than happy to show our face. We're not hiding behind anything. Whereas if you see the vast majority of the people in the camp that claim to be there for peace, they're hiding behind a cagoule in French or like a mask to hide their true identity.
What do you think Miguel should do?
I have no idea. They should decide for themselves what to do. But I think the campus should be open to everybody.
What we need is to see that there's a partner for peace. And what they're doing over there is showing us the opposite, because they're saying from the river to the sea, they mean that they don't want Israel, they don't want Jewish people.
School is for learning. Leave us alone, let us go to class, that's why you're here. You chose to go to this university, you chose to be a student here, so if you're a student at this university, go to class.
I'm hoping that McGill would actually protect all its student body and allow all students to freely go on their campus, evict these agitators.
Les étudiants doivent au moins assister à leurs cours et puis c'est pas un terrain de camping.
Even though I'm graduated right now, I'm still ashamed to have gone to McGill. I mean, the lack of representation that we see, the lack of discipline that we see from the administration to get these people out.
We love life. We even love Palestinians. We take care of them in Israel. We love everybody around us. That's why we're here.
How could they be peacefully protesting when they approve what was done on October 7th? The moment you say that you approve what was done on October 7th, you're no better than those who did the killings and the rapings.
You give you the right to express your opinion, but not give you the right to threaten other people.
I know plenty of students who have been told from the river to the sea, these are genocidal slogans. They've been told things like, go back home. These are not peaceful protests. These protests are riddled with anti-Semitism, and they're not by any means benign.
Intifada Sha'biyya means popular revolution. Intifada Sha'biyya, popular revolution.
So when they yell for Intifada, they are calling for the elimination of the Jewish people. So yes, that is threatening, and we do take it seriously.
I think we can all see that the police want to do something. We saw it today, the police were amazing. I think that they want to do something, but they're waiting for McGill to give them the green light. And I think McGill should do it as soon as possible.
Even if you see a lot of the people that are, you know, you can see clearly they're not like students. So it's supposed to be only for students. It's one thing if you want to protest, but you could tell many people aren't, you know, of age to even be students. So they technically shouldn't even be on the property.
McGill has been taken hostage by Muslim Arab extremists who are taking advantage of naive, progressive Canadians.
They want to perpetuate a war against Israel. This is about, these are war promoters. They do not want Hamas to end their rule over Gaza and a base from which they can promote war.
They can say they're peaceful all they want. They're not peaceful.
Everybody is nervous. Nobody can walk down the street. And we just want peace no matter where we go.
They should be removed. But the problem is that too many leaders of these universities are feeble and weak and don't stand up for what's right and what's wrong.
The truth is what matters. Israel is not an apartheid state. There are 2 million Arab Israelis living with equal citizenship, fighting in the army, serving in the government. So that claim is utterly false.
I expect Trudeau to stand up and to say publicly that he condemns anti-Semitism without saying Islamophobia in the same sentence.
What's happening here is not a demonstration. What's happening here is aggressive, coercive opinion of a minority, and that's taking over everybody because nobody wants to be politically incorrect.
University of Ottawa has a group of students that is joining a broader trend that's growing across universities in the English-speaking world. We've seen similar protests at New York University, at Columbia University, also here in Canada, we've seen it at McGill University, where demonstrators who we can broadly say, let's say, are pro-Palestine or anti-Israel, are aggregating and agitating against what they call war crimes or genocide being perpetrated by Israel against Palestinians in Gaza and in the West Bank. The protesters are demanding that university administrators disclose and divest from any sort of financial overlap or tie to interests or persons related to Israel. The protesters have a sort of BDS-style series of demands, BDS being the acronym for Boycott, Divestment, and Sanction Against Israel. So the demand is to disclose and divest. The protesters want the university administration to disclose all of its investments, and any of them that may relate to Israel should be terminated. Not long after I attended this demonstration, a minder for this protest began to advise all the demonstrators that I was a right-wing chud and I was an agitator. Essentially, everyone there obeyed their master's orders and refused to talk to me at all, despite my good faith, sincere invitation for these people to share their remarks as to why they're there, what they sought to achieve, what their goals are, what their perception is of the ongoing conflict in and around Israel. There was one exception, one older Arabic man who shared some remarks with me. But other than that, once this minder, middle-aged white man, got his message out as to who I am, according to him, he had quick obedience from essentially everyone in the protest. Would you want to do an interview with me on camera? Tell us why we're here and what the purpose of the demonstration is about? Maybe you want to share your name or your rationale for being here? All right, how about you? Would you want to talk to me for a few moments? Tell our audience why we're here, what the motivation for the demonstration is?
Who are you?
My name is Robert Krejcik. I'm with Rebel News.
Which one?
I'm with Rebel News.
Okay.
They're far right-wing people.
I can speak for myself, but...
They're the people who are involved with the convoy.
Are you saying sorry to me or saying sorry to him?
No, actually, I listen to him because I am with them. I'm here just because I want to stop the genocide from Israel side, okay?
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say about that? Like, what's the purpose of the demonstration? How does this demonstration seek to end what you describe as a genocide?
Okay. Because the Israel government, they pay for every media, okay? Like your media or whatever, if they pay you or not, but I'm sure they pay.
We're not being paid by Israel.
Who's? Wait, for whom? IBAC?
We're not paid by AIPAC or Israel.
No?
No.
Why they refuse to talk to you?
I can't explain why this guy will do what he's doing. I can just answer your own questions on my own behalf.
Anyway, we are here to stop genocide in Gaza. We are here to ask for freedom for Palestinian people. We are here for peace. Okay?
So the demonstration itself, this encampment, how does it seek to achieve that if it's... seemingly, if I misunderstand or understand correctly, a sort of put pressure on the administration of the university itself.
To stop deal with the Israel army or the Israel economy. That's the reason here. We stop here. And if the police move from here, we'll go to the other place, maybe an airport or to stop genocide. We have to listen. Everybody have to listen for the message. People, they killed over there. Okay.
At one point, one of the protesters had this megaphone basically blasting in my face with this message, Free Palestine. I was not going to tolerate that, and I sort of smacked it away from myself. At this point, things got a bit more animated from these people, and it began to demand that I leave. Of course, I would not, because I have a right to be there like anyone else. And there was, at this point, clear no possibility of any more interviews or any sort of meaningful exchange with anyone there, as people began to sort of aggregate and put these umbrellas around me and blasting megaphones around me in other directions. So that was basically the end of this attempt to get interviews from demonstrators and have their words relayed to you in our dear Rebel News audience. Hey, do you folks want to share some remarks as to why you're here? It looks like we're not going to get any sort of feedback here from anyone, but we're going to keep trying. As you can see, this demonstration has a minder, at least one, who is advising other demonstrators who they can and can't speak to. At one point, I had one guy sort of playing a, let's say, megaphone, bullhorn up in my face, which I wasn't willing to tolerate, so I put that away. And now we've got a sort of congregation of demonstrators collecting around us, chanting Free, Free Palestine, and again, still advising everyone else, all demonstrators, not to speak with me. This is a typical strategy that you'll see at left-wing protests, if I can use that term, in which minders sort of advise or police other demonstrators who they can and cannot talk to and what they can and cannot see. It's very, very scripted. It's not really organic. It's not really freestyle. And that's that.
We will not stop. We will not rest.
Let's go. Let's walk over.
We will not stop. We will not rest.